Hello and welcome back to another edition of K-Pop Rama Podcast. I'm your host, Gin Onmin, and before we go on to today's episode, I actually just wanted to take some time to welcome some of our new listeners who have probably started to listen to the podcast from last week. Just in case if you don't know, last episode from last week was an episode where I did a collaboration with the Soulmates podcast. And as someone who looks at my podcast analytics like every day, I have seen a giant influx in people listening to the podcast. So if you are one of those new listeners, I just want to take the time to say thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed the collaboration episode, and hopefully you enjoy some of the other content that is on this podcast every week on Friday. So yeah, I just want to thank all the people out there who have, you know, taken the time to listen to the podcast, as it means a lot, you know, because it takes a lot of work to do these kind of things, and I hope to do more collaborations like that, like we did last week, in the future. So there's all of that. But anyway, today's episode is going to be a bit of an interesting episode. This is more of a discussion, theory episode, that is revolving around one question, and you can probably tell from the title of the podcast. And that question is, how will the next popular K-drama go viral? Now, you know, with the success of dramas like, you know, Crash Landing on You, Squid Game, All of Us Are Dead, you know, and so on, you can't help but wonder, you know, like, just how will the next K-drama go viral on a worldwide scale? And today, I am going to give my thoughts on that question and maybe give you a better perspective on it too, because I think it's a very interesting question to think about. But before we get into all that, of course, if you like the podcast and you like what we do, don't forget to like, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. We're available just by any podcast platform you think of, and for on Apple or Spotify, don't forget to subscribe or follow to be updated on the latest that happens on the podcast. And last but not least, our social media will be in the podcast description below. Now, without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Okay, so to start, I think before I get into the things I'm going to talk about today, I feel like I need to provide a bit of a disclaimer. And that disclaimer is the fact that my viewpoint comes from being a K-drama fan based in the United States. Now, I say this because I know, like, most of my listeners are from the US, and that's very much true. But I know there are listeners out there who are, you know, from abroad. They're from all over the world. So I feel like I need to say this because, well, just to be honest about it, some viewpoints might be different from other K-drama fans out there, and there also could be other mitigating factors that I'm probably not taking account of in the things I'm going to be talking about on this episode. So I feel like I just need to provide that bit of disclaimer before we get into the actual show, because, you know, that could very much influence the way that I feel about this particular question. So there's all that. So now that we got that out of the way, the first reason, or I guess the first cause that will lead to the next K-drama that will become super viral, is the fact that this drama will be on Netflix. Now, if you recall the K-drama preview episode for Winter 2022 that I did back in January, you would recall that I had similar language, or, like, I said this basically the same exact thing when I talked about All of Us Are Dead at that time. And, you know, just to recap it, basically, I basically said that All of Us Are Dead literally has all of the tools it needs to be a super viral show. And just judging from how popular the show was in the US on Netflix, anyway, I think I was really correct in that prediction. And I think part of the reason why it even got as popular as is because it's on Netflix. And I say this because, you know, I think even looking beyond shows like All of Us Are Dead, right? Like, I think it is no coincidence that all of the dramas, all the K-dramas that have gone viral, like super viral, have been on Netflix. Like, I think you just have to look at shows like Squid Game and Crash Landing on You to tell you that, oh, hey, all of these shows, and I'm including All of Us Are Dead, by the way, all of these shows were all conveniently released on the Netflix platform. And I think, really, when you think about it, this fact shouldn't really be much of a surprise because, you know, I think all of us, most of us anyway, can agree that Netflix is the undisputed leader in the world of streaming. Like, they have so many shows on their platform, it is ridiculous. Like, this is even going beyond, like, their little catalog of K-dramas and K-movies, right? Like, they have, like, American shows, British shows, name a country, they probably have a show of theirs on their platform. Like, they have a extensive library, and that has led to a giant worldwide popularity for Netflix, because everyone uses Netflix. Like, it's, I think, hands down, probably one of the most recognizable and most accessible, you know, video streaming platforms out there right now on the internet. And I think in order for the next popular K-drama to go viral is that it just has to be released on Netflix, because it is, you know, one of the most mainstream platforms out there. Just hands down, like, this, I think there's really, like, no arguing that, in my opinion. Now, I guess I should say, just to caveat that point in saying that, you know, there's, you know, there is other platforms that have K-dramas, you know, outside of Netflix, of course. If you're thinking of, like, mainstream platforms, there's also Apple TV that has recently gone into the K-drama business, and also Disney Plus as well. They've recently gone into it. And for more, like, more specialized platforms, there's platforms like Viki, Vue, IQI.com that I watch JD-san from. Like, you know, there's also those other platforms that, you know, specialize in more Asian dramas, you know, things of that ilk. And, you know, those platforms are great. But I will say that I think if you, how should I say this? Like, say if you wanted to convince someone to get into a K-drama, right? Like, would you honestly think, like, if you're trying to pitch a drama to someone, like, do you honestly think that someone who is not really familiar with any K-dramas would be willing to get a membership on Viki to watch this K-drama that you recommended? Now, I'm not saying that the K-drama that you're recommending is, like, good or bad or not, but I think the fact that, you know, you would probably have to go into, like, a 2-minute explanation into what Viki is, you know, it kind of goes against you in terms of trying to convince someone to get into a K-drama. Whereas, say, if you recommended a K-drama onto Netflix, like a Netflix K-drama, you know, I should say that there's not really a guarantee that they would get into K-dramas, but at the very least, you could say that, you know, this K-drama is actually accessible, because there is probably a very good chance that they probably already have Netflix, and, you know, they can literally go and try it out on their phone or on their computer and just see what they think for themselves without any cost to them. And, you know, that, again, that just speaks to how popular and how accessible Netflix actually is, and why, you know, with, I guess you can make a reasonable guess to say that if there will be another K-drama that goes very, very viral, like worldwide viral, it will most likely be on Netflix, just because of all of these reasons that I've mentioned. And this is not even mentioning the fact that Netflix themselves are making a huge push this year to release as many K-dramas as they humanly can. Like, I mean, I don't know if you guys seen news articles about this, but just based on what I've read, Netflix is planning to release over 20 K-dramas and movies over the course of this year. And, you know, as we've already seen already, there's already been, like, 2 to 4 dramas already that have already released on Netflix. And, you know, just the volume of dramas that are being dropped on Netflix this year just tells you just how popular K-dramas are starting to become. Like, because, you know, Netflix is literally taking this special interest into it. And I think really all this is really telling us is that with the greater the amount of K-dramas that are being released on Netflix, I think the higher the chances are for one of these shows, like it only has to be one, to be, you know, the next Squid Game or the next Crash Landing on You, that this becomes super viral all over the world. And that this goes, and what I mean by viral, because I know, like, I've already tossed around that word already, but I would define the word viral as, you know, something that goes popular, that is really popular amongst, you know, the K-drama fans, of course, but it is also something that kind of goes beyond the K-drama sphere, and it just permeates around this mainstream fans who just so happen to be on Netflix. Like, viral is something that I would classify as, you know, the kind of reaction that you got from Squid Game, for example, where literally everyone was talking about that show. And it, just looking back at just how Squid Game was just so, like, influential and whatnot, like, it's kind of wild to see, like, the kind of circles that the show ended up being in. Like, it got to the point where even my friends who have, like, zero interest in K-dramas or, like, anything, like, Korean, like, pop culture whatsoever, were asking me about it. Like, that's the kind of level of viralability, if that's even a word, that, you know, a K-drama can potentially get when I'm, you know, in regards to this question. So, you know, there's all of that. But aside from, you know, the choice of streaming platform for this potentially popular K-drama to become viral, I think if there's another challenge that a K-drama has to overcome is the fact that it's a drama that comes from a genre of show that is fairly mainstream. Now, as we have seen in, like, past viral K-dramas, I think we could say that dramas that have gone viral worldwide are often in two categories, excluding Crash Landing on You, of course, because that's a very, like, X-factor thing, which we'll get into later. But they go into two categories for me. One is a Korean zombie show. And as we've seen from shows like All of Us Are Dead or Kingdom, because I feel like you kind of need to throw in Kingdom as well, like, those shows have arguably reinvented, like, the way people think about what you want in a zombie show. Because let's be honest, I think for most, at least Western audiences anyway, I think they were kind of growing sick of the zombie genre in general. But I think arguably, like, this might not apply to everyone, but I think you could honestly say that, you know, Korean zombie shows have definitely changed the way that we look at these shows and what you can potentially do with them in terms of story, like, special effects, whatever. And I think that's why these shows have become such hits worldwide, because it's something new, something that reinvents the genre, if you get what I mean. So, you know, there's that. But the other category is also shows that are, to be totally honest with you, they're just over the top. And I think, you know, one big example of this is Squid Game. Because, you know, even if Squid Game as a concept in terms of a story is rather simple, because it's basically a bunch of adults playing Korean children's games, like, it also highlights faults in our modern society. Like, you know, it goes into more deeper themes that, you know, it forces people to think in that regard. And I think that makes stories like Squid Game so interesting, even to people outside of the K-drama sphere. And I think these shows that have themes that are either familiar to us or outlandish is kind of the way for a show to bring people in into whatever K-drama that is being released. And I think if you can get these factors in, and they're very enticing and very interesting, I think you definitely get, there's at least a chance for someone to potentially watch a K-drama and potentially watch more in the future. Now, I know earlier I mentioned Crash Landing on You as a, you know, a show that has gone viral worldwide, which is true. But as you have probably figured out by now, I didn't mention that show in, you know, the shows that I mentioned earlier, in like All of Us Are Dead, Kingdom, Squid Game. Like, I know I didn't mention Crash Landing on You within the realm of those shows as well. And there's a good reason for that. Now, I think if you just look at Crash Landing on You objectively, right? I mean, by all accounts, it is very much a classic K-drama, in the sense that it's just a romantic melodrama, which, you know, I'm sure for a lot of you K-drama fans out there, especially those who have probably watched and seen more K-dramas than I have, like, you would know that melodrama and romance is at the core of what K-dramas are about. It's been that way ever since the beginning, I imagine, and it'll probably be the mainstay of the K-drama industry for the years to come. And, you know, Crash Landing on You very much revolves around the classic melodrama. Like, literally, like, if you recall from the Soulmates collaboration that we did last week when we talked about the show, like, we all commented and we all agreed that this show literally has all of the K-drama romance tropes that you can think of, and it's just executed exceptionally well. Like, that's really all there is to it, to Crash Landing on You. It's just your classic romance show that just exhibits what we all love about K-dramas. And that's great. But I think part of the reason why the show got so popular as it actually did is because of one X factor. And that X factor is the fact that the show was based and revolves around North Korea. Because everyone knows about North Korea, for better or for worse. God. Like, I'm just kind of like laughing at myself at that statement. Because, like, you know, I'm sure for a lot of UK drama fans, like, it feels like such a shallow reason to be even remotely interested in a drama like this, because, you know, there's obviously more to Korea than North Korea, right? But for most people in the world, right, like, I think even with the fact that K-pop and K-dramas have become more accessible all around the world and it's, you know, growingly popular, right, like, I think for most people, I think the first instinct that they would think about if you even say Korea is North Korea. And I think that unfortunately kind of comes from just the fact that it's a hermit kingdom that has closed itself off for 70 years or so. And it's, you know, very mysterious in that regard for a lot of rather unfortunate reasons. I mean, like, I've covered that before, and I'm sure you don't need me to explain it to you, but, you know, I think the fact that this show was based in North Korea probably got people interested, and it made the show more unique. It's a very effective X factor, and I think by all accounts, it probably got people to decide, hey, I'm gonna watch this show. Because, you know, like, I know, like, for us, right, like, K-dramas are great for what they are, but for most people who are in, like, or not really like interested in these kind of shows, like they have to be, you know, they have to be convinced a little bit more. They have to be persuaded to watch a show like this because, you know, as I've already mentioned already, like take the whole North Korea effect out of it, like, and then like this show would probably just be like your normal romance show. And for most people who are not really interested in K-dramas, like there isn't really a reason to watch the show. Like they could always just watch a romance show from their own country or from some other country, if you get what I mean. So, you know, that's kind of why Crash Landing on You specifically has this very, it's a very unique K-drama in the fact that it's, for one, what K-dramas are at its core, and also the fact that it has such a unique X factor that this entices people, because, you know, it just, the fact that the show, as I've already mentioned already, is based in North Korea, this instantly gets people's attention, like, for better or for worse, like I've already said. So, you know, there's all of that. So, I guess to wrap up this main point, really, like, I think if the next drama becomes popular online, it will either have to be a story that comes from a rather popular genre, so like zombies or this being flat out outlandish and ridiculous, or it's something that has a very unique X factor, such as, you know, Crash Landing on You, with the fact that it's revolving around North Korea, because that's, as I already mentioned already, that's an instant talking point that will get anyone interested, regardless of whether or not they were even remotely interested in K-dramas or not. So, you know, there's all of that. But before I move on to my next point that I want to cover on this show, we're going to take a quick break. So we'll be right back after you listen to The Wonders, that is the Anchor podcast platform. So be right back. Okay, we are back. So this part of the podcast is really going to be a follow-up question to the original point that I've brought up for this show. And it is basically revolving around whether or not the information that I've told you so far as to how to make the next viral K-drama will lead to a drastic shift in the way K-dramas are made in order to achieve global popularity. Now, this question's very interesting because there's obviously tons of room to speculate as to whether or not K-dramas will shift because of this newfound global fame. But to be totally honest with you, my answer is rather, how should I say this, disappointing, because my answer is honestly yes and no, which is a really elongated, long way of saying, I don't know, because I think it could honestly go either way, But if you want my honest opinion, like, I think it's definitely leaning into one direction, which I'll get into now. And it is the fact that I don't really see a reason for K-drama production companies to make this drastic shift in order to be popular worldwide, because their main fan base hasn't changed. And that main audience for K-dramas are women. Like, there's, like, no mistaking that. Like, it's been like that since the beginning. It's like that now. And it will most likely be that in the future for years to come. And I'm very self-aware about that fact because, you know, like, sure, like, I make this podcast. I enjoy K-dramas as much as most of you guys out there. But I also acknowledge that I, myself, as a dude, a guy watching these shows, like, I am not part of the target audience of these dramas. I'm just not. Like, I'm not. Like, that, to be honest, I don't really care that I'm not part of the target audience because I still enjoy these K-dramas all the same, like I've already said, but that fact still remains. Like, I am in the minority in terms of the people who watch K-dramas. And look, you can, like, feel free to, like, search up demographics as into, like, the viewership and, like, the fan base of K-dramas, because in the surveys that I've seen, in the data that I've seen, it is overwhelmingly female. And for the sake of this podcast, I'm just going to bring up my own podcast analytics, because I think if once I tell you guys my podcast analytics, I think it'll give you a better idea. Like, even if it's just based on my own podcast as to, you know, the type of people that end up watching K-dramas and also end up listening to podcasts like mine. So, I'm gonna pull that up real quick. So, bear with me. All right. So, I got it here. So, now, since I look at these analytics all the time, like, I know what they are and, you know, how they change over the past 2 years I've done this show, right? So if I look at my all-time demographics, if I scroll down to the gender, like the types of people that watch, or not watch, but listen to this show, all-time, 73% of my listeners have been female, with only 23% of those of my full listenership being male, which, you know, comparing 73% to 23%, like, that's a huge disparity in terms of the type of people that listen to my podcast and also probably inevitably listen to or watch K-dramas. So, you know, that's a very, very big majority of, you know, this show being listened by females. So now, if I look up my monthly demographics, so just to specify, I am looking up my demographics from just from the webpage that I see here. It is dated from February 10th of last month to today, so the past 30 days or so. Now, if I look at these demographics, oh my god, it actually changed from yesterday. But so if the demographics for the past month is, well, wildly different, because for one, I'm actually kind of shocked by this, I'm not gonna lie, but out of all of the listeners that have listened to this podcast in the past month, 88% of my total listenership for the past 30 days are female, with only 11% being guys. So if you're part of that 11% out there, hi, you're in the minority, just like me. But, you know, this kind of gives you a general idea of just, you know, the kind of people that are drawn to K-dramas in general. Like, the fact that, you know, a big majority of my listenership is female tells you that, you know, the main audience of K-dramas are female and will probably be like that for the future and beyond. So really, all of this is saying is that, you know, if the audience, a very female majority audience, wants romantic shows like Crash Landing on You or 2521 or Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha, like, those are the kind of shows that, you know, these K-drama companies, production companies, are probably more likely to produce, because that's what the audience wants. Now, saying all of this, I think even despite this general focus on romance shows or romantic comedy shows, I think there will be a continued effort, at least in my opinion, in diversifying the type of K-dramas that we've seen. You know, and what I mean by that is basically, like, different types of shows that are K-dramas but are not romance shows. So, like, shows such as All of Us Are Dead, for example, Kingdom, Mr. Sunshine, other shows that are not romantic. I think those shows will probably be more prevalent, especially now that there's a more global audience. Like, I think that will probably happen. And I think in general, I think that's a rather good thing that that K-drama production companies are doing this, because, you know, even though I enjoy romance shows, like, I enjoy the romance shows like everyone else, but I think it's a good thing to have a healthy variety of the types of stories that you see, you know? Like, I think, like, say, for example, like, oh, okay, I just got off watching Hotel de Luna, for example. But hey, I kind of don't want to go through the melodrama, so I'm going to watch a show like Vagabond or Kingdom or All of Us Are Dead or something. Like, that's, I think having that choice, the ability to be able to choose between romance or action or crime dramas or whatever, I think can only be a good thing. So I definitely see the industry, you know, slowly diversifying into other genres. I think if anything, the next step is whether or not like these shows, especially the romance shows, can have that X factor, as I've already mentioned with shows like Crash Landing on You, to captivate people not just in the K-drama, you know, world, the K-drama fan world, fandom, but also the more wider general audience. And I think, you know, I think in at least in recent like months anyway, like we've seen that with this, I guess you could say, like in this push to have more unorthodox genres come into K-dramas. Like, for example, like I think the entertainment industry in Korea is definitely making a pretty noticeable push into genres such as sci-fi, for example, because, you know, I think literally in like the past year, they have made multiple movies like Space Sweepers, there's probably others. Oh, Silent Sea, Syphilis, which is that other like science fiction one. Like, I think in response to global popularity, there's definitely this push to, I guess, push the boundaries of what K-dramas can be. So, if anything, I think alongside, you know, the romance stuff, which will always be a mainstay of K-dramas until the day that it's just not interesting anymore, just falls off. Like, I think there will definitely be pushes to other genres, other settings, which I think will be really intriguing to watch because, you know, I'm always excited to see what K-dramas can produce because honestly, the potential is limitless. Like, they can literally do anything, really. And I, for one, welcome that because, as I've already mentioned already, variety is never a good thing. Is ne Sorry, I should rephrase that. Variety is never not a good thing. So, you know, that being said, like, I think we'll probably, in all likelihood, see a general focus on romance shows, but also, as I've already mentioned already, see more diversification in other genres. And they'll probably just see how those shows end up. And who knows, maybe we might get another push to other types of shows later down the line. But as I already mentioned already, who knows how that will end up. So those are my thoughts on that. So other than that, that concludes this week's episode of the podcast. Hopefully you guys found this show interesting because this honestly, this show kind of just came up into my mind like literally like 2 days ago, and I figured, oh, hey, this show might be interesting to do. So yeah, I kind of ended up doing it, and hopefully this show at least maybe gives you some ideas as to how the next potential K-drama out there in the future might become the next viral hit, as we've seen in the past. Do let me know on our social media, so our Twitter or Instagram, about your thoughts about this whole thing, because I'm honestly intrigued to see your guys' thoughts on how the next K-drama will be the next viral hit. And I also want to hear your guys' thoughts on the follow-up question I had regarding whether or not we'll see a drastic shift in the way K-dramas are shown when it comes to global popularity, because I think it's a very interesting question, and I think, and I'm honestly really intrigued to see your guys' thoughts on it, because it'll be very interesting to see what you guys think, like whether or not you guys agree with me, or if you disagree, or if you have other kinds of opinions on it. So feel free to comment on our social media about it, because I'm definitely going to be looking at our social media about your guys' thoughts about this episode. But other than that, wherever you are in this gigantic world of ours, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the K-Pop Rama Podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode, and be sure to tune in to another episode next week. But until then, this is Gian from the K-Pop Rama Podcast, signing off. Take care and have a brilliant weekend, everybody. Peace. Bye-bye. Aloha. Take care. Follow our social media.